Let's just bow our heads for a moment, quiet ourselves before God. Father God, thank you for the Word which existed before time started, and the Word which will remain after our time ends, for the eternal Word of God, for the living Word that was in Christ Jesus, for the written Word that we have in our Bibles that we can read for instruction and comfort and understanding and blessing. And as we open the Word, as we open the bread of life right now, as this one feeds this bread to these people, I thank you, Father, that it will be heard, it will be digested, it will be acted upon, and we will find new life from the bread of life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to address myself to the young people in this church who are listening to me, just you young people. I want you to listen to me very carefully, because what I have to say is very important, and you as a youngster will be able to understand. Then I want to address myself to the teenagers. Well, I have to say something very, very important for you, and you will be able to understand me. And for your young adults, and for your older adults, it's all the same. It is for you today, and it's this beautiful thing in God's Word that comes from the 10th chapter of Matthew. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 10 and listen very carefully to what God is saying. Matthew chapter 10, we're going to read several verses here. Matthew chapter 10, we're going to read verse 29. 30 and 31. Now, while you have your finger right there, before we read, I want you to turn in your same Bible to Luke chapter 12 and put your finger there, because we want to compare these two scriptures. Luke chapter 12, verse 6. And you can do that. You can turn to Luke 12, 6 while you're holding Matthew 10. Okay. We have Matthew 10 and we have Luke 12. Here we go with God's Word. Matthew 10 says in verse 28, "Don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell." Then he says, verse 29, "For only a penny you can buy," how many sparrows? Two. "For one penny you can buy two sparrows. Yet not one sparrow falls to the ground without your Father's consent. As for you, even the hairs of your head have all been counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many," what? "Sparrows." Now, with your other finger, we'll flip open to Luke chapter 12, verse 6, and listen to this. Aren't five sparrows sold for how much? Yet not one sparrow is forgotten by God. Even the hairs of your head have all been counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth much more than what? Than sparrows. Now, did anybody, but don't say it, just lift your hand. Did anybody see a comparison here or anything? Okay, the first scripture says, are not how many sparrows? Two sparrows sold for what? One penny. Okay, Matthew says two sparrows are sold for one penny. Luke says what? Five sparrows are sold for what? Two pennies. Now we got to think about this. We got two sparrows for one penny. Two times two is two plus two is four. And then over here we got four plus an extra one. But for twice the amount of money. This is what you call enterprise. And it's nothing new. In the days of Jesus, we have people who said, buy your birds, buy your sparrows. You need a sparrow for the temple of worship. Buy the sparrows. Two sparrows for a penny. Two sparrows for a penny. The guy over here is saying, no, no, buy your birds for me. Buy your sparrows for me. You'll get five sparrows for two pennies. He says, if you buy my sparrows, I will throw in an extra bird. Young people, adults, you are looking at the fifth sparrow. I'm looking at fifth sparrows. For it says here, not one sparrow will fall to the ground without the Heavenly Father knowing it. The lad or the person who was selling the five for twice the amount the guy was selling the two says to himself, I'm going to put in one more sparrow, and it's very important. It's not that the sparrow doesn't have value. That sparrow's got a lot of value because if it were not for that one sparrow, then I wouldn't be able to make this business deal. So we who are the fifth sparrow, which will mean all of us, are really important to God. This morning I was sitting in the living room with the Lord, very quietly, and looking into our china cabinet, I saw a reflection with the glasses on the back of it. Looking out the front window, which I could not see because I was not facing that way, but could see through the mirror's reflection, and I saw some sparrows fly over. I said, that is really neat, Lord. That's really neat. I'm going to talk to the people about sparrows. But they kept on flying. They just kept on going. They wouldn't stop. I said, I want to see one lonely sparrow. Because I knew that in the Bible, the word sparrow is mentioned six times. We've read four times here. The other two are in Psalms, and we might turn to it in a minute, but I wanted to see one little sparrow, and sure enough, one sparrow was catching up with the flock, but then behind him came another swarm. You are the fifth sparrow, and boy, as the song says, reach out and touch God. God is watching you. He's aware of you. He knows everything about you because you are so very special to Him. Now, when my children were real young, I'm not sure which one it was, we went to a supermarket, and there was a horse out there to ride. And it said, one ride for 10 cents, but three rides for a quarter. So the days of enterprising is not new. And the guy who lived in Mexico, the little boy who was selling sparrows, who became a Christian, said, I realized, in his broken English, that I am throwing in an extra sparrow to try to sell these sparrows. This is the true story. I'm throwing in an extra sparrow, but I want to know that that Senor Jesus looks at me as someone who has great value, like this bird. And if he could look at me and say, I've got value, probably he had gone to Sunday school and heard the story about the sparrow. He said, I will accept the fact that God's eye is on the sparrow, and I know, what does he do? Watches over me. You don't have to, but I want to read Psalm 84, 1, 2, 3, and 4, because this is the other place the word sparrow is used, and it's a beautiful scripture, and we've used it before, especially up at the Casa de Swallow retreat house. Psalm 84, 1, 2, and 3. How I love your temple, Almighty God, how I want to be there. I long to be in the Lord's temple. With my whole being, I sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow has built a nest and the swallows have their own home, and they keep their young near your hand. Lord Almighty, my God and my King, happy are those who live in your temple. Even the sparrow has built a nest. And the other scripture is again in the Psalm 102, verse 7, where the other place in the Word of God, the word sparrow is used. Psalm 102, verse 7. It says, I lie awake, I am like a lonely sparrow on a housetop. We've all seen a lonely sparrow on a housetop. So what the Lord is saying is that you are so very important. And if the sparrows are known by God, I mean, the sparrow is not like a peacock, is it? The sparrow is probably the least of the birds, the sparrow. Who cares about the sparrow? But the scripture says God's eye is on the sparrow. And that makes it really important. That means that last summer, when I hit that sparrow with my car unintentionally, God knew. Because my word says here that every time a sparrow falls to the ground, God knows about it. In fact, he doesn't. Turn back to Matthew's account. Isn't it two interesting words here I think we ought to look at? In Matthew 10, it says, not one sparrow falls to the ground. Do all of you have the word fall in your scripture, in your translations? Does anybody have a different word? Not one sparrow falls to the ground. Number 28, 29. Okay. In most translations, it says not one sparrow falls to the ground. And when you see the word or hear the word fall, you think of it falling to the ground like being killed or shot or died in some way. But the word is not fall. The word is light. L-I-T-E, light. And this is much more significant than the word fall. Sparrows fall to the ground. You say, yes, God knows. It says that he knows the sparrow falls to the ground. But the word is light. Now, what is light? This is light. Every time a bird lights on the ground, the sparrow, God says, gotcha. I know all about you. I know every time the sparrow falls to the ground, every time the sparrow lights to the ground. In other words, if we are the fifth sparrow, every step I take is known by God. God knows my every step. Now, the other interesting word is in verse 30. The hairs of your head have all been counted. How many of you have the word counted in your in the scripture? All counted? Do you have a different word? Hey, that's great. That's great. It is numbered. And there is a great deal of difference between numbered and counting, because I can count. But God, he does not say in the word, he has counted your hairs on your head. It says he has numbered the hairs on your head. And numbering carries with it a connotation that's much more significant, much more important. He just happens to do the thing. No, he has numbered each hair. Hey, I can't even count, though. But God has numbered every hair on your body. This means he has attached a value to every one of your hairs on your head. Not one sparrow falls to the ground. Birds were precious to Jesus. Birds were very precious to Jesus. I want to speak to you very briefly about four sparrows. And they are in this fashion. First of all is the sparrow of care. The sparrow of care. Robin, you have in your bedroom, probably, or somewhere in your house, a little plaque that we gave you when you were a baby. It says, that her name is Robin. Said the robin to the sparrow, I'd really like to know, how come these anxious beings rush around and worry so? And said the sparrow to the robin, or it might have been the other way around, then it must be they have no heavenly father such as cares for them. It must be they don't have a heavenly father. They just rush around and worry so. The sparrow of care, 1 Peter 5:7 says, he cares for you. If you were all by yourself, just sitting right there, I could point my finger at you and say, God cares for you. God cares for you. This is the sparrow of care.
There is just nothing you can do that would make him not care for you. I care for my children. I care for my grandchildren. I care for my friends. I care for my relatives. But, you know, that doesn't even compare to what God is caring for me. And God cares for you. You just don't know how much God cares for you.
Well, he doesn't care for me. Do you know what I did?
No. He does. He does already know, and he still cares for you. He still cares for you. It says here, if a sparrow falls to the ground, you are much more of value than a sparrow. We had two for a penny. We had five for two pennies. How much are you worth? How much is the body worth? It's not even worth a dollar, even with inflation nowadays. The human body is not worth anything. How much are you worth? Oh, you're worth so much. God has great value attached to you. So this is the sparrow of care. He cares for you. The second sparrow is the sparrow of confidence. We're going to read several scriptures. The first is in Hebrews. Care to turn, Hebrews chapter 3, and then we're going to go to 1 John chapter 3. Secondly, the sparrow of confidence. Confidence. We've got to have confidence. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Jesus is faithful as the Son in charge of God's house. We are His house if we keep up our confidence. We keep up our courage, confidence in what we hope for. We are His house. We just sang, you are the temple of God. If we keep up our courage and confidence in what we hope for. And now a few pages over in chapter 10, verse 35. Hebrews 10, 35. Do not lose your confidence, because it brings with it great reward. Our confidence cannot be in man or in anything, but our confidence must be in God. Have your confidence in God, and it says here, if you have your confidence in God, then you are going to be saved. It says, if you have your confidence in God, it will bring great reward. Sparrow of confidence. A sparrow right here with confidence. I have the care of God. I've got the confidence of God. And furthermore, in 1 John chapter 3, a few pages over, the writer says in verse 21, and so, my dear friends, if our conscience does not condemn us, we have confidence in God's presence. And then chapter 5, verse 14, regarding confidence, the word says, we have confidence in God's presence because we are sure that He hears us if we ask Him for anything that is according to His will. Cast not your confidence away. We've got the confidence. We've got confidence. And we're not going to be defeated by Satan. We're not going to be defeated by any foe or any circumstances that comes our way. No matter how dreary that situation is, we're not going to lose our confidence. Thomas Edison, one cold evening, stood with his white hair blowing in the wind, watching his laboratory burn down. The laboratory was apart from the house. One of the children came out to him, and he said, run, get your mother. Run, get your mother, quick. Well, he did. But as the child ran away, the child heard Thomas Edison say, she'll never see a sight like this in her life. Have her come out here. Have her come out here. Everything was burning up, but he didn't lose his confidence. His brother came out, and the wife, and Thomas Edison said, look at there. You are seeing, that is quite a sight you're seeing. You're seeing all my mistakes being burned up. I will not lose confidence. I will not lose confidence in this. I will not be defeated by what I see before my eyes because I've got confidence in confidence alone. God is confidence. God is confidence. So the sparrow here, I say, God, I am a sparrow of your care. I am a sparrow of my confidence. I am a sparrow of cater as well. Turn to Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19. I want somebody to read this. Philippians 4:19.
This is the sparrow of Cater.
He, God, will supply what? All of your needs in Christ Jesus. In other words, He will give you, He will supply all your needs. We say in our prayer, Lord, give me this day my what? Daily bread. I don't need next week's bread. I want today's bread. Give me this day my daily bread. And people, our God is a God who can supply your needs. He can supply your food. He can supply your needs. And I guess when you talk about needs, it comes in various categories. Certainly food is a great need that you have. One little boy who was picked up and brought into a Salvation Army office was said, he was sort of like being, he was listening to people who were mocking. The little boy said, well, I need food. I need help. And this guy said, well, why didn't somebody give it to you before now? I mean, just a really rough one. Why didn't somebody give it to you before now? Guess he had a bad day. The little boy said, well, you know, maybe he told somebody and they forgot. Maybe they told somebody and they forgot. You know, God is telling the church to let's feed the poor. There are 12,000 people in Monterey County that are hungry. It's unbelievable, but they're here. They have a need, and God is raising the visibility level of our church in the helping of these people. The church as a whole needs to be conscious that we have bread to give, not just the regular bread that we eat, but we have the other kind of bread that will help the people who have need. There are 4,000 heroin addicts in Monterey County, 4,000. And there are 4,000 more that have other drug problems. And God can supply their needs. God can help these people if they will turn to Him. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs, all of your needs. Let me share with you a story. His name was John. He was a very close friend of Martin Luther. And it was during the persecution of Martin Luther, and some of the people in the town's lives were right on the line, and they were in danger. God spoke to John, just like He speaks to you. He spoke to John and said, John, get up, grab a loaf of bread, and run into the first open door. Well, he obeyed God. He grabbed a loaf of bread. He ran out the door. He ran down the street. The Lord said, run. So he ran. And he found an open door. And he went in the door, up the steps to a loft life. And there he stayed. He knew that his life was in danger. He knew that the persecutors were going to come and kill him. He prayed this prayer. God, it says in Philippians 4:19, you will supply my needs. I've got one loaf of bread, and I am hungry, and I can't dare go down the stairs into the street. Give me this day my daily bread. You know what happened, young people? Down the street, went in the open door, up the steps, to the loft, and laid an egg. In fact, without cackling, because silence was the word of the day. The chicken went away, and John said, thank you, God. My day's bread and my egg. And the next day, that chicken came back, laid another egg without cackling. He said, it is true. God should supply my every need. And the chicken left. The chicken came back. People, the chicken did that for 14 straight days. Laid an egg without cackling and left. The bread providentially lasted that long too. On the next day, he waited, you know, for the cater. Wait for it to come. It did not come. Then he dared go near the window. And he saw some people standing below. He was able to hear them say, if we only knew where he was, we could tell him it was safe to come out. Don't tell me God doesn't have his eye on the sparrow, or he doesn't have his eye on you, and he will watch over you. the sparrow of care. And then the last one is this. It's the sparrow of custody. And this is probably one of the more important ones. Psalm 91 is where I read. Psalm 91, the first six verses. Sparrow of care, confidence, cater, and now the custody. Psalm 91 says, whoever goes to the Lord for safety, whoever remains under the protection of the Almighty, can say to him, you are my defender. You are my protector. You are my God, and I will trust in you. He will keep you safe from all hidden dangers, from all deadly diseases. He will cover you with his wings. You will be safe in his care. His faithfulness will protect and defend you. You need not fear any dangers at night or sudden attacks during the day or the plague that strikes in the dark or the evils that kill in daylight. And then down to verse 9, you have made the Lord your defender, the Most High your protector. And so no disaster will strike you, no violence will come near your home. God will put his angels in charge of you to protect you wherever you go. They, the angels, will hold you up with their hands to keep you from hurting your feet on the stone. This tells me so vividly, God is my protector. There is the custody that God has for me. The custody. In England, there are many, many sparrows. And the enemy of the sparrow is the Cooper hawk. But the sparrow has learned that they can fly into a thorn bush, nestle in that little bush amid the thorns without being hurt, and the Cooper hawk is just cracking all around. You know, can't get in, can't have its dinner, can't get to the sparrow. The sparrow learned that in that was safety for them. And we must learn too, people, that in this world, with all of the fiery darts of the enemy coming against us, we have safety in God. And only in God do we have safety. The sparrow's custody. And Job says he will put a hedge around him. Hosea says, behold, I will hedge him up in the way with thorns. You see, God is going to protect you because he loves you. About a year before I met Nancy, I was driving a brand new little French car, Renault Dauphine, on a freeway. And I was going back to New Orleans. I was between Baton Rouge and New Orleans. It was the middle of the night. I was going back to dedicate an educational building of the church where I was pastoring, or where I was the assistant pastor. Late at night, and a drunk man walked across the freeway. And I swerved to miss him. And in doing so, with the short wheelbase of the car, rolled out a brand new car, 134 feet. I went 143 feet. I was told later you should not have swerved. He probably wouldn't have gotten hurt. As it is, he was there and robbed me, also said he was the first one on the scene. But I was put away in the hospital for a while, recuperating. But while I was there, the words of Deuteronomy came to me on several different occasions, and it said, God is our refuge and strength, and underneath are his everlasting arms. And I believe that when I was thrown out of that sunroof and rolled on the concrete, there was the everlasting arms of God to protect me. Because it says he is our protector, and he has underneath us his everlasting arms. Today I am that fifth sparrow. Now you are sparrows. More than that, you are somebody that God loves and cares for. And you can't get out of bounds. I only can see what's over here. I can't see behind me now. But God has world vision. He can see everything. And you stay in relationship to him. Because you can't stay on the fence. You stay in relationship to him. Then the responsibility comes back to us. So we say, God, as we heard on the tape earlier, reach out and take the hand of God and hold on to it. Why? Because his eye is on the sparrow.
and I wish we could sing that song, but the words go like this. Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely, away from heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my confidence in Him, my constant friend is He. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Oh, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Do you know that too? Stand with me, would you? Father, we stand in Your presence right now. We stand in the presence of God, thanking You, Almighty God, for the care, for the confidence, for the cater, for the custody that You give Your sparrows. Thank You for watching over us so carefully, bringing us to this time together. Thank You for Your presence that is with us right now to bless us, to heal us. God, we put our confidence in You. We put our confidence in You right now. We praise You for Your concern. And all the hurts that we sparrows have encountered this past week are known to You, can be healed by You. We ask, Father, for Your mercy that would just be extended to us all where we have received cuts and bruises from the world, not literally, but we have received figuratively these bruises. We ask, God, that the balm in Gilead, the oil of Your kindness, be placed upon us to heal us of these cuts and wounds and bruises. Most importantly, however, if you're here right now and you're not a Christian, you've never given your heart to Jesus, we invite you to do that. We invite you just to say in your heart, Jesus, I give my heart to You. I can't save myself. I know You died for me. I will accept Your salvation. You can do that right now where you're standing or wherever you're listening to me. You can do that. You just can say, Jesus, I give You my heart. And I would encourage you to do that. But if you're here and you would like to be prayed for, to be anointed with oil, or to have hands laid upon you according to the Scripture, we would invite you just to come forward at this time so we can minister to you the work of God. Would you come, please?